Welcome to A Dose of the Healthy Truth podcast with Dr. Cecil Bennett. Learn more about this podcast and other episodes at cecilbennettmd.com. Now here's Dr. Bennett.
Thanks for joining me again for the truth about COVID on my podcast, A Dose of the Healthy Truth with Dr. Cecil Bennett. I'm glad you're with me, and there's a lot going on in the news with COVID, and I really believe it's important that we understand everything that's going on with COVID. And I'm going to enlighten a lot of you out there about things you do not know. And I'm going to make you pretty much a COVID expert, not just for your knowledge, but also for your health to protect you and your family. Let's start with something that's been in the news lately, which are teachers going back to school with or without vaccination. And if you listen to what the CDC guidelines are now for children and teachers going back to school, they're requesting that there be mitigation standards or mitigation steps taken. And that pretty much says that there's certain things that has to be done in order for schools to start back again, as opposed to just vaccinating the teachers and the school workers and getting our kids back in school. They would rather go down the road of mitigation, which involves 90% masking by everyone in the school, contact surface cleaning, ventilation systems upgrade, increasing testing, and also increasing contact tracing of anyone who is infected with COVID. Now, I want you to think about that. What is easier to do? To just vaccinate teachers and school workers and get them in the classroom teaching our children, or to try and to manage all of those mitigation standards? You know, this reminds me of conversations that we have as physicians with people who have high cholesterol or high blood pressure or diabetes. And we always talk about, you know, we need diet, exercise, and weight loss. That's the way to control your blood pressure and your blood sugar and also your cholesterol. But unfortunately, it's very hard for people to do those things on a consistent basis. So what ends up happening is that they end up on the medication anyway. For instance, you know, for the patient who has high cholesterol, I'm sure many of you out there may be taking a statin like Lipitor or Crestor or Zocor. You tried diet, you tried exercise, you tried weight loss, you have some success, and then you don't. You have some success, and then you don't. The only consistent way to keep your numbers under control is to take your medicines on a regular basis. That we know is proven, that we know works. The only consistent way we know to ensure that teachers do not get COVID is to vaccinate them before they go back to school and not have the schools try to maintain these standards, which are pretty much impossible to maintain. It seems pretty straightforward to me. I also want to talk about something that's been in the news about double masking. And there was a little bait and switch that occurred here with double masking. And let me tell you what I mean by this. You remember not a few weeks ago, the president was actually considering sending out KN95 or N95 masks to the general public, more importantly to seniors or those at high risk. Now, let me talk about masks a little bit. You have your cloth masks that you may get online, and I see a lot of people wearing those designer masks. Those are okay. You have surgical three-ply masks, which are the blue masks that people wear, which are about this online with the cloth mask, about the same level of protection. Now, the thing about those two masks is that they only protect someone from you. So if you're wearing that mask, you are protecting me if I'm in the room from you if you have COVID. Those masks do not protect you from me. So if you're wearing a cloth mask or you're wearing a surgical mask and you're in the room with me and I'm not wearing a mask and I have COVID, you're going to get COVID because that mask will not stop you from getting COVID if I'm in the room with you without wearing a mask. So that's the story of the cloth or the surgical mask. The other masks are KN95 or N95 masks. The KN95 is a mask that's made overseas, we'll just say in general, made in China or in Korea or some Southeast Asia facility. Usually, most of the time, they meet the standards that they need to meet in order to be in the U.S. market. I say most of the time because, of course, you're going to have people try to get counterfeit masks out there, and we got to be careful with those. So make sure you go to a reputable manufacturer to get a KN95. But that mask will protect you from me and me from you. So basically, if I'm wearing a KN95 mask, it doesn't matter if you're wearing a mask or not. I'm protecting you from me and me from you. So if I'm in a room with you and I'm wearing a KN95 properly, you will not give me COVID if I'm wearing that mask properly. The same is true for an N95, which has higher standards, and it's probably the best mask that you can get, would be the N95 mask. But the bottom line is this. If you have a KN95 or N95 mask, you are protecting yourself and you're protecting others. If you're just wearing a cloth mask or you're wearing a blue mask, if someone around you has COVID, you are toast. This is why the Biden administration was going to send out KN95 or N95 masks to seniors and to those with chronic illnesses. It made sense, right? CDC director objected to that. Her position was, well, you know, the KN95 or the N95 mask, they're uncomfortable is one thing that she said. Well, you know what's also uncomfortable? Wearing a motorcycle helmet when you're driving down the expressway. But guess what? You have to wear one in order to protect yourself. Her other point was, well, what we have to do is to maybe get the other 40% of people who aren't wearing masks to start wearing a mask. Newsflash, the people who are not wearing a mask do not want to wear a mask. It's been a year. 400,000 people have died, and they're still not wearing a mask. So the likelihood of them wearing a mask going forward is zero. I just don't understand why she's so resistive to ensuring that everyone has a KN95 or N95 mask until we get at least 75% of the U.S. population vaccinated. So all of a sudden, you started hearing about this double masking. You mean all that stuff in the news? Yeah, wear two masks and two masks, et cetera. And do they work? Do they work? I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you what came down from the CDC director. First, I'm going to tell you what came from the CDC director. Let's do that first. The CDC director says, well, if you wear a double mask, it decreases the transmission of COVID. It decreases the transmission of the virus by another 90%. So double masking will protect you. We need to wear a double mask. So she's saying, okay, well, you don't need a KN95. You can just double mask, okay? But there's a problem with what she's saying. Remember what I said before? That a surgical mask or a cloth mask will protect someone from you giving them COVID? Well, if you wear two masks, it's true, there'll be more protection from you giving someone COVID. But guess what? It will not stop them from giving you COVID if you wear two masks. As a matter of fact, there was a study done in 2005 on another coronavirus, the SARS virus. And what they did at that time, this was via the NIH, the National Institute of Health. They had people wear 2, 3, 4, and 5 masks to see whether or not it stopped them from getting the virus. And guess what? It didn't work. So whether you wore one mask, two masks, up to 5 masks, if you're in the room with someone with COVID, you're going to get COVID. So you see the little spin action that took place here? What she was saying was that, okay, if you wear double masks, you're doubly protected against giving someone COVID. But that will not protect you from someone in the room with COVID. To do that, you need to be vaccinated or you need to have a KN95 or an N95 mask. It's that simple. So this is what I need everyone to do. If you have not been vaccinated, you need to go find a proper mask. Forget about that cloth mask or that surgical mask unless everyone in the room is wearing one. If everyone in the room is wearing a cloth mask or a surgical mask, you're all protected. But if you're going anywhere, if you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to the supermarket, if you're going to the hardware store, if you're going shopping, protect yourself by getting a proper mask, which is a KN95 or N95 mask. Double masking will not help you. All right? So I want to make sure we're clear on that. About a month ago, I wrote a letter to the CDC director, believe it or not, and brought up my concerns about the KN95 and the N95 masks not being distributed worldwide. And her response is what I just went through with you in terms of this little okey-doke with this double masking stuff that she's putting out there that's protective, that's really not protective. But it's something else I want to talk to you about when it comes to the administration of the vaccine. If you notice, there's this big plan, to put up tents and to get churches, get schools, get stadiums, get the NFL, get the NBA, all these massive testing sites that they plan to put online. They need to hire additional healthcare workers to administer the vaccine. They have all this logistical stuff going on with the army back and forth. They're going to have pharmacies involved to try and vaccinate people left and right. Let's talk about that for a second. The current healthcare system through public health is not set up to administer vaccine to the general public in masses. This is why they have to create this massive infrastructure in order to do that. Now, compare that to other countries. You know, in my other podcast, I stated that I've traveled to over 25 countries and spoken with their governments or to their medical schools about medical education. Those systems are different from ours. They're democratic systems, but they're parliamentary systems with a minister of health. And that minister of health has branches in every parish, in every district, in every county, in every community of the entire country. They have a provider that's networked across the entire country. So if something happens, let's say they have to vaccinate the entire country, one call pretty much from the minister of health starts an entire network going to be able to get vaccines to everyone in that country fairly quickly. Because the system and the infrastructure is set up to do that very quickly. The U.S. does not have that public health structure. Do any of you even know where your public health department is? If I had to send you right now saying that your life is dependent upon it, drive as fast as possible to your closest public health department, where are you going to go? You have no idea, right? The only people who know anything about public health are those who pretty much are going on a missions trip and need a yellow fever vaccine. That's pretty much the only people that go to public health, as well as, you know, some other minor things. Most of what we do today when it comes to vaccine administration is via primary care physicians. Primary care physicians, not public health, not pharmacies. You've seen a lot of things online too about pharmacies vaccinate America. Suppose I told you there was a survey done by a online pharmacy that was asking the question, where did patients go in 2020 to get their flu shot? Twice as many patients went to their primary care physician opposed to a pharmacy. And only 4% of people went to any type of public health facility. 4%. Yet, when we're looking at rolling out 600 million doses of vaccine, 600 million, 300 million times, people times two doses, 600 million vaccines. They're using public health that has no infrastructure. Website crashes every 5 minutes. Seniors can't get into it. Seniors have no place to go because, again, they can't get into the system to even find a location to go to. We're using pharmacies that maybe three, I would say if you combine all the public health sites, combine all the pharmacies, you may get 600,000 sites. There are 300,000 primary care physicians in the United States of America. Let me say that again. 300,000 primary care physicians in the United States of America. And we are not a part of the vaccine administration plan. Someone explain that to me. Would you rather go online, spend 2 hours trying to get in on a website to eventually go to a stadium somewhere to get vaccinated? Or would you rather just call your primary care physician and at your next appointment go in and get vaccinated while we manage your diabetes or your hypertension? What is easier to do? But we are not a part of the equation. And you have to ask yourself why. Now, think about what primary care physicians can provide. Not only volume, 300,000 primary care physicians compared to 50,000 pharmacies across the United States, 300,000. But we're in every community. One of the main parts of the vaccine administration has been to make sure you get to black and brown communities that suffer from COVID, three times the death rate and three times the hospitalization rate. And we need to get to those communities. Well, guess what? Then a lot of these communities don't have pharmacies, but they have primary care physicians there. Primary care physicians are in rural communities. We're in small towns. We're in the richest to the poorest communities from East Coast across the Midwest to the West Coast. We're in hard-to-reach areas, yet we're not a part of the process. We have relationships with patients. You know, I said before that my average patient has been with me for anywhere from 10 to 15 years. For those patients who don't want to get vaccinated because of conspiracies, who better to talk them out of this conspiracy theory than their primary care physician? And think about how easy it would be if a patient comes in. I have these patients come in and say, you know, doc, I don't want to get vaccinated. I heard that you can get COVID if you get vaccinated with a vaccine. And after I say, no, well, that really won't happen. It can't happen. This is why you really need to get the vaccine because it will protect you. It can save your life. Let's just go across the hall and give you your vaccine. And they could go, okay, yeah, that's great. All right. But I don't have the vaccine. So basically, I'll convince someone who doesn't want to get the vaccine to begin with to get the vaccine and then send them to go out and get online to spend 2 hours trying to get into a site to get vaccinated. I have a senior, 75 years old. She spent 2 hours clicking on the website trying to get in until she finally got in and was able to get a vaccine appointment. I have another senior in his 70s, drove 4 hours to another vaccination site in another city to get vaccinated. Do we really want seniors driving hundreds of miles to get vaccinated when they could just go to their primary care physician? And you have to ask yourself, and I do ask the question, why are we not a part of the process? And you know something? It comes back to the same thing, right? Money. Calvin Coolidge, president of the United States, about 100 years ago, once said, "The business of America is business." And it's something you have to understand. Everything in this country is based on a business decision. You know, I used to be one of these feel-good people. Yeah, everyone does things for the right reason, and I'm in healthcare to help people, etc., which I am in healthcare to help people. But then I realized that industry is in business in order to protect industry. All right? And what I mean by that, think about this in terms of this, right? We're supposed to be really looking at preventive health. We're supposed to, you know, try and prevent people from having heart attack, prevent people from having stroke, you know, improve poverty, etc. If the job of this country is really to improve our lives, or the government is planning to improve our lives through preventive health, why are we building more stroke centers, more cardiac centers, and more cancer centers than primary care centers, preventive health centers, where people can go and, you know, deal with their addiction, deal with their diabetes, deal with their hypertension on a global level in order to get them well, right? If we truly were into prevention, we'd be spending a lot of money in those centers. But where's the money spent? Massive cardiac centers, massive stroke centers, massive cancer centers, all right? But it is what it is, right? The business of America is business. So what does that have to do with what I'm talking about right now? Well, you think about it. Think about this package that's going through Congress, $1.9 trillion, and think about all the money and where it's going to be allocated to what states and for what purpose, etc. That's where the answer lies, right? Because if they send the vaccine to 300,000 primary care physicians, you don't need infrastructure. You don't need to hire all these new people. You don't need to rent space. You don't need to revamp the entire public health system. You don't need any of that, right? You send me 1,000 vaccines, and in 8 weeks, I'll have my patient population vaccinated. You do that times 300,000 doctors, and that's 3 million people in 8 to 10 weeks, and we're done, right? But it comes back to money. Everything always comes back to money, and that's going to be my position until proven otherwise. And I would like someone in government to step up and tell me where I'm wrong when it comes to that. This is the bottom line when it comes to COVID. You have to really take the bull by the horns and make the effort to get vaccinated. This can only be done by contacting your congressman or congresswoman and letting them know that you want your primary care doctor to get the vaccine that you can get vaccinated. If you don't, I can't tell you how long it's going to take before we actually get to herd immunity, which is having 75% of the population vaccinated. It's just very frustrating. You can imagine me, you know, every day I'm talking to patients. They're like, Dr. Bennett, you know, do you have the vaccine? Dr. Bennett, do you have the vaccine? And my answer is no. Do you know when you're going to get it? When are they going to send it to you? My response is, I don't know. Well, what do I need to do to get vaccinated? You know, I meet the category. I'm 75 years old. And the only thing I can do is send them to a website and hope that the website is working and hope that they can eventually get in and hopefully they can get an appointment and hopefully the weather is great, that it's not snowing or raining and they can actually go to their appointment. It's just really sad. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Dose of the Healthy Truth podcast with Dr. Cecil Bennett. Please join me for my next episode.
Thanks for joining us for a Dose of the Healthy Truth podcast with Dr. Cecil Bennett. Learn more about this podcast and other episodes at cecilbennettmd.com.